Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Latte, Jeremy Warner. We're bringing on Stephen Bardos. With this and Stephen Bardo, we have been talking about the Big Ten championship, or the Big Ten tournament, I'm sorry, basketball. It's going to start switching between Indy and Chicago. I made the assumption that you would like that move. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Take nothing away from Indianapolis because they do a fine job of hosting the event, and Indiana has a fervor for basketball that's unparalleled from anyone in the country. But when you talk about the Big Ten and not being in Chicago, to me it would be a travesty. And I think the people in Chicago can start to rally around this event and really make it something special like it's become in Indianapolis. So I'm happy that it's here in Chicago, that it will be in Chicago.
And Stephen, do you think it's because, I mean, Indy's, the attendance has dropped a little bit over the last couple of years. Do you think it's just because of the fan base that's in Chicago that loves basketball? And because there seems to be alumni from every Big Ten school in Chicago. And Indy, it seems like either Indiana or Purdue have to be going far into this tournament for it to be a sellout.
I think that's very accurate in terms of the local teams doing well, tied to the attendance, where Chicago, you know, there's a little bit of everything from everywhere in the world in Chicago, let alone the Big Ten Conference. And so if it's in Chicago and it's done a little bit differently than it was in the past, I think that they can really increase the attendance. You know, the United Center is not the best location in terms of an event like this compared to Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. But they can do some things, the Big Ten Conference can, in terms of enhancing the transportation between the United Center and all the entertainment centers in Chicago. It's not that far. And if they could tweak it a little bit, I think the attendance would be much better than we've seen in years past.
What kind of tweaks would you have done?
I would have every school have an official bar. So if Illinois went to Joe's on Weed Street, which Tom DeSanto, a passionate alumni owns, and every school has a place, like Rocket Bar is the Michigan bar off of Hubbard. And so if they could really build those particular places up to be the official Wisconsin bar, the official Ohio State bar, I think that that would really help attendance, because you want to have a home base in a tournament situation, because it's a festival atmosphere. And as much as you can build that festival atmosphere and connecting with alums and your home base is here, I think that could really help the event.
Former Illini Stephen Bardo, you said bar and basketball.
Perfect.
I think a lot of Illini fans are in. I think they bought that idea.
I would hope so. I would definitely hope so.
Well, I know that Bruce Weber likes the idea. And Stephen, what about that? I mean, obviously, he likes taking his team up to that Chicago area, et cetera, to play. But what else can that? How else can that help the Illini basketball program by having that in Chicago?
Well, anytime Illinois performs well, the Chicagoland area takes notice, and as do the you know, the potential student athletes that would be playing at that level. And in years past, we haven't been able to get, when I say we, I'm talking about University of Illinois, we haven't been able to get the top echelon players to come out of this area. And anytime that we've done that in any sport, whenever you mine Chicago the way that you should as a state school, you will be one of the best in the country, regardless of the sport. And we've seen that in golf. We've seen that in swimming. We've seen that in gymnastics. We've seen that in football and basketball. And so if the Big Ten tournament is in Chicago and Illinois can have a good performance, it does wonders for recruiting.
On that topic, Stephen, on recruiting, it seems as though, you know, I know you're from you're from Carbondale, from Southern Illinois, but how tough is it to get those kids from, you know, from the city of Chicago to come to the University of Illinois? I mean, you've got a lot of friends, obviously, you played with. You talk to a lot of these guys. How tough is that to get these guys to come down to Champaign and play ball here?
Well, it's tough when you see Julian Wright, John Shire, what's the young man that went? Iman Shumpert from Oakland.
Sean Collins.
What, now new guys like Wayne Blackshear, Anthony Davis that are going to Louisville or Kentucky.
Derrick Rose. When you see the top guys leave the state and you become one of those top echelon guys, you start to look for the same. But when Mike Shaw, Michael Henry, these guys, Nana from St. Ignatius High School, when these guys start to say, okay, you know, we like Illinois, that has a big-time effect because guys want to go where it's cool. And Illinois hasn't been as cool lately, but hopefully with this recruiting class of seven players, hopefully that will change things.
Talking with former Illini, Stephen Bardo, also an analyst for ESPN. And Stephen, I got to get your opinion on Penn State. Ed DiCello stepping down there, going to Navy. A lot of people see it as a step down, obviously, in terms of stature of the programs. But, I mean, it was all about job security. They hire Pat Chambers from Boston University. What did you think of that hire?
Pat Chambers has done a fantastic job at Boston University. And if you're going to recruit to Penn State, you have to get that Northeast corridor. And I think Pat has an in on that. I think that if he can get into Pittsburgh and Philadelphia as well, there's a number of players that come out of there every season. I think that he'll do well. Penn State's a tough job, though, guys. Ed DeChills is not a dumb man. He's a smart man. He knew that he didn't have the backing that he would prefer from the administration. Basketball is like a ballhead stepchild of football at Penn State. And so, you know, he knew that going in and making that move, people in the industry understand why he did it. People outside the industry don't understand that Penn State really doesn't support their basketball program like the other schools do. And so it's a challenge. And if Pat Chambers can get the excitement going there, then maybe things can turn.
And it felt like he took that program as far as he could. You know, 10-8 in NCAA tournament. Doesn't seem like they can go farther than that. Can anyone win there consistently, do you think, Stephen?
You know, at Penn State is awfully tough because, again, you're second fiddle. And so what you're doing, you have to recruit guys who are unpolished gems at this point. Guys that were Taylor Battle, you could see that he had a lot of talent, but he was undersized, and the big guys didn't want to take a flyer on him. And so Penn State takes a flyer on him and develops him and nurtures this guy who is an all Big Ten performer, will be able to play professional basketball, whether it's in the NBA or overseas. But here's a guy that Penn State normally wouldn't get. But Ed DeChellis was smart in terms of recruiting guys who had a tremendous upside, but had to work on a few things and needed some personal development. And that's the route that Penn State will have to go, because they're not going to get blue chippers to come to State College based on the dynamics the way they are right now.
Talking a little college basketball in the middle of summer with Stephen Bardo, and who better to talk it with now that we're on that subject of college basketball and the Big Ten in general, Stephen. What about Indiana? I mean, I think Jeremy and I have talked about this the last, 5-6 months where we've brought it up, that we're even surprised that Tom Crean hasn't gotten this program a little bit better at this point. But I think the recruits are coming. I think this team is going to be better in the next couple of years. What do you see this Indiana program like right now?
You said lack? Is that what you asked?
No, just what do you see? I mean, do you see that team rebounding this year with a pretty good team? I mean, obviously the recruits are coming now, right?
Yeah. Tom Crean would turn that thing around. You know, Indiana was decimated. People don't realize that there were a lot of player defections, a lot of guys left, and the program was just totally decimated. And not to the point that we'll see what Ohio State's going through, but in terms of sanctions and a coach leaving and players for that particular program having to leave because there's a new program, a regime coming in with Tom Crean, they had to start from rock bottom. And so Tom has really got that place revived. I did a couple games in Bloomington this year, and they were as loud as any game I did in the Big Ten this season. So he's got the fan base excited. The guys play the way that they need to for Bloomington. You know, if you're at Indiana, you play your tail off and you play hard, the fans will follow you and they'll support you. And so all he needs is one or two more guys that are really stellar guys, like this Zeller kid that he has coming in, who many think is the best Zeller of them all. And so if he is indeed the best Zeller, then Tom Crean has something on his hands. And so I think this season you'll start to see with Dominique Creek, with Christian Watford, with Jordan Hulls, you know, they'll start to turn the corner and they'll be either mid-level or upper-level Big Ten next year.
Seems like you just get a Zeller or a Plumlee and you're good.
you know what I mean? Get in early at the daycare or something. But it was quite a few players out of those families.
Well, and Steven, you talked about the sanctions on Indiana, how it hurt that program. In Ohio State, we asked you your opinion last week on that. But USC, the BCS title vacated, they're taken away by the BCS. Do you agree with that? As a former player that's played in big games, do you agree with taking away banners, with taking away titles?
No, I think the ruling and the sanctions that came down on USC were punishment enough. To take away championships is to say that the young men that took the field didn't live up to the standards of excellence in NCAA, and that's wrong. They won. They beat every opponent that they were faced against. And so when you look at that, yeah, there might have been some ineligible players, but they still had to take the field.
Right.
And they still had to win the games. And so I think that that's a step that's a little bit excessive, but the NCAA, you know, I'm not a fan of it, although my dad is on some of the committees. I'm not a fan of how they conduct business, and I think that there are too many older men that never played the game that are making decisions that don't understand the effect of what this has on the alumni base, on the school itself, and on the perception of the programs that are trying to rebuild under NCAA sanctions.
When it happened, right? I mean, the championship game happened. Those guys won the title. They won 55-19. I don't know how you just say, oh, no, that never happened. It's not in the record books.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because people that watched it like you, like it sounds like you did as well as I did, we know what happened. And we know in the back of our minds who was the national champion that season, whether NCAA acknowledges it or not.
Steven Bardo is with us on the TNJ Show. Steven, can we hold you through one break?
Sure.
Awesome. Let's do that. When we come back, I want to ask you about the NBA Finals. This Dirk Nowitzki, I love this guy. We're going to talk to Steven Bardo about that next. TNJ Show, 93.5,
95.3. Connect
FM. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Latte, Jeremy Warner visiting with former Illini great and ESPN basketball analyst Steven Bardo. Never bad to have Steven Bardo come in and join you on the radio, and that's what he's doing. And, Steven, we're going to switch gears now to the NBA Finals. Dirk Nowitzki has said this is a must-win tonight against the Miami Heat. Do you think it's a must-win for the Mavs?
Yeah, I do, because you don't want to give a team like Miami any kind of momentum going in. If they can get this victory tonight, it would be tough for Dallas to win, almost three. They'd have to win three straight. And to beat Miami, not once, but twice in Miami, would be very tough. So I expect Dallas to play very well, make the adjustments. People don't understand typically that the NBA playoffs, every game is a series of itself. There's so many adjustments that are made from game to game. And so the outcomes are sometimes surprising. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas Mavericks rebound tonight and get the victory.
And, Steven, I really like the Mavericks. I really like watching this team. I think they're constructed pretty well. But going up against Miami Heat and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you saw Chris Bosh hit the big jumper. You saw Dwayne Wade hit the big jumper and LeBron James just being a facilitator. I just feel like Dirk doesn't have enough around him to pull off three more wins in this series. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. And when you look at, see, I've been critical of LeBron James on First Take when I go on ESPN and do that show. And I have to eat my words. I have to eat some crow here because you're talking about a 6'8", 260-pound man that will guard anybody that walks in the gym. He guarded Derrick Rose in the fourth quarters of the last two victories against Chicago and shut him down. You're talking about the NBA MVP. Then he goes and guards Jason Terry, who is the NBA Sixth Man of the Year and is a scoring machine. And this guy can't see a shadow around LeBron James because he's so good defensively. And so Dwayne Wade has been the star offensively. Chris Bosh has stepped up. But LeBron James is playing at a level that, to me, puts him as the best player in the NBA. He supplants Kobe Bryant right now with the way he's playing. Unbelievable performance by the Heat. And I just don't see Dallas matching up with two Hall of Famers and an All-Star.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of the Heat, but I'm really starting to appreciate the way they play because they play unbelievable defense, and I'm eating crow on this team too because I feel like these guys are almost unstoppable now. To beat them in a 7-game series when they play that kind of defense, it's tough.
It is tough, and when you can lock people down in the fourth quarters, like we've seen Miami do, and then you got guys can go get their own shot. You know, you're talking about Dwayne Wade, who's won a title, and LeBron James, who's a 2-time NBA MVP. When you have these two guys on the floor and they're able not only to create their own shot but create shots for their teammates,
right,
it's next to impossible to really slow them down. And I think that, you know, they've tasted blood and they're going for it, and it's going to be awfully tough to beat them for Dallas.
And we better get used to it. I don't think they're going anywhere here in the next few years either.
I totally agree, and they're only going to upgrade their roster to complement these guys.
You're scaring me. You're scaring me, Steven.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to say that because I'd like to see a little bit more balance, but in the Eastern Conference, and hopefully Chicago will go and get somebody that can score off the bounce besides Derrick Rose. But, you know, until that happens, Miami looks like, in barring major injury, they're going to have to deal with the Miami Heat for years to come out of the Eastern Conference.
Steven Barta, I respect your opinion on this, and I want to ask you about Dirk Nowitzki. I love that guy, and I don't think he's going to get another chance. Or I mean, he's not obviously going to get this title unless they get it tonight. I kind of agree with you, but what is your take on his game? I mean, he has just shown up so big in these playoffs.
Dirk Nowitzki is one of the best shooters in NBA history. Not big man shooting, but just one of the best shooters in NBA history, and the thing that really tickles me now that people are starting to compare Dirk Nowitzki to Larry Bird. Now, guys, I'm going to be old school. Dirk Nowitzki's good, but he's not Larry Bird.
Yes, I agree.
He was phenomenal. He could run the point guard position. You know, Dirk is a specialist. He's a scorer, and he can get his teammates involved late in games. But Dirk is typically a rebounder because he's 7 feet. He can be around the basket and grab rebounds, and he's a scorer. But Larry Bird did a little bit of everything. So let's you know, get that out of the way first. Now, Dirk Nowitzki is a special player. He should go down as a Hall of Famer. He's had a tremendous career. He's done some unbelievable things this playoff season that we've seen, especially against Oklahoma City. He was just unbelievable in that series. And I look for him to elevate his game to the point tonight where he can carry Dallas to a victory.
Former Illini great, ESPN basketball analyst Steven Barta. I know everybody loves hearing your voice around here. Steven, can't thank you enough for joining us again.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, we will talk to Steven in the future as well. Steven Barta, thank you, sir.